Well, God's been good to me. Has He been good to you? Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to feel the presence of God. It's great to know that there's still a people who love the Word of God, who have realized that there's nothing in this world that has the power to keep us like the Word of God does. Amen. The Word of God is not only quick and powerful and sharp, the Word of God is a discerner. Doesn't matter what we're going through, the Word of God has an answer to every question that we have in life. There are many things in life that we do not understand. There are some things that we will never understand. But the Word of God has the ability to give us strength, to give us courage, to give us hope. Thank God for this wonderful, wonderful Word. Praise God, praise God. There are people who do not read the Word because they say that they can't understand the Word. Well, there's something, or there are many things, but there's something that stands out to me tonight, something that is different about the Word of God compared to any other book. It doesn't matter whether we understand it or not. If we will read it, we will ingest it into our spirit, into our heart and our mind. It will work beyond our understanding. It will work in ways that we never dreamed possible. We will see God do things in our life, and we may not understand why or how it's come about, but it's simply because there is a working Word in our life. Read the Word whether you understand it or not. There's power, wonder working power in the Word of God. Could we thank Him again for His wonderful Word? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me give you a wonderful experience that I had. I realize you're standing. Many years ago, I was the youth director in a church. We had a lot of young people, many young people. There was a family in our church that had two small boys. The boys were in the Christian school. And one weekend, the mother and dad and the little boys went down to the Gulf of Mexico, South Louisiana. And on the way back, they were amazed at what they were seeing, because they were from another state but had moved to Louisiana shortly before that. And so they were watching for alligators, and they were watching people crab on the side of the highway. And the dad wasn't watching what was in front of him, and he ran into a car and had a serious accident. It caused one of those little boys to go into a coma. They put him in the hospital. I received a phone call shortly thereafter. I went to the hospital, and we were very concerned, and that child lingered there for, I would say, a couple of days or so. Went to visit him again and to pray with him and his family. And while I was there, the church school principal came in. And we walked over beside the bed. And the principal began to say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And he quoted those scriptures, and started again and said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." He went on through it and he started quoting it the third time. And I heard a little voice start saying, "Hear, Israel, Lord, one." We began to quote it again. And this time I heard that little voice say, "Hear, O Israel, God, one Lord." And we quoted it again, and we got about halfway through it, and that child's eyes came open. He sat up on the side of that bed and he said, "I'm hungry." Praise God. I'm telling you, there's power in the word. It brought that child out of a coma. Amen. If you happen to be in a spiritual coma, just start reading the word and quoting the word, and it will also raise you up. Thank God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Sister Copeland, and this presentation and these young people fired me up tonight about the word of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother Copeland, for allowing me to be here. This is good. I'm glad to be here. Praise God. And I did a double take tonight when I heard the name Tim Guerrero. Amen. And I looked and I thought, "Is he?" And he looked at me and he said, "Are you?" Amen. And realize I've known this young man most of his life, but it's been many years since I've seen him. I've known his family many years. Tell you what, you can run, but you can't hide. Amen. It doesn't matter where you go. I tell people all the time, I have to be good everywhere I go, because I'm liable to run into just anybody. My voice gives it away sometimes. I've been in stores in other states and heard somebody say, "I hear a preacher." Amen. Well, praise God. Let's go to the word of the Lord. We're going to Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at verse 13. Joshua 5, verse 13. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho," would you say he was by Jericho, "that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, 'Art thou for us or for our adversaries?' And he said, 'Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, 'What saith my Lord unto his servant?' And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, 'Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy.' And Joshua did so. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked." We know that when Joshua lifted up his eyes and looked, he saw a man standing over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. But that's not all that Joshua was looking at that day. Joshua was looking at walls that were high, thick, and wide. Walls that were strong. Joshua was seeing walls. I've come to preach tonight, and I feel this very strong. I've come to preach tonight. You can face your walls. Amen. You can face your wall. It doesn't matter tonight who we are, somewhere in our life and in our walk with God, we're going to face a wall. My wall may not be your wall, and your wall may not be my wall. But every one of us face walls that seemingly will not come down. But God will give us the power, He will give us the strength and the ability to face the walls and also to see those walls come down. Would you lift your hands with me and ask God to walk in this house and to talk to every person here? Holy God, we thank you. Thank you for the sweet, wonderful presence that we feel tonight, this wonderful presence of your Spirit. We pray tonight, oh God, that you would walk in this house, Lord, and that the Word of God would come alive to everyone, that each of us would be able to leave here tonight with determination and courage to face the walls that stand between us and what you have for us. Help us, oh Lord, let your anointing be upon all of us. And for all of this, we pray and we thank you and give you glory and honor in your holy name, Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise our God, praise our God, praise our God. God bless you and you may be seated in Jesus' name. When God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of the land of Goshen, and out of bondage, He did not lead them out for them to forever wander in a wilderness, going in circles and really going nowhere. But God led them out that He might lead them in to a land that flowed with milk and honey. He led them out that He might lead them in to a place where they would live in houses that they had not built. He led them out that He might lead them in to a place where there were vineyards that they did not plant. He led them out to lead them into a land of promise, because it was God's will to prosper His people, to bless His people, and to see them conquer enemies, and to see them be victorious. I say to every person tonight that it is the will of God that He lead us out of sin. It is the will of God that He lead us out of bondage, but not for us to just wander around, but to go on and to see the promises of God come to pass in our life. Has God made anyone a promise? I said, has God made anybody a promise? Amen. If He made you a promise, He is going to help you to see that that promise comes to pass. And here we find Joshua. Joshua, who now was the leader. He was the one that God had chosen to step into the place that Moses had left and to lead God's people into the land that God had promised them. But now we find that Joshua is standing before the great walls of Jericho. And as Joshua is standing, no doubt he is looking at how great these walls were, how high, how thick, how wide, how large, how strong these walls were. And Joshua knew that if he was going to go any farther, that he would have to somehow conquer these walls of Jericho. I am sure that Joshua was in a place where he did not understand how it would come about, if he did not understand if he was able or not to see it come to pass. But Joshua must realize that if God had chosen him for this purpose, that God must have seen that Joshua had it in him to make it and to face the walls that stood before him. I've come to tell somebody tonight, if God didn't want you to have victory, if God didn't think that you could make it, if God didn't believe that you had what it took or what it takes to face your walls, he would have never called you out of darkness. He would have never called you into this marvelous light. He would have never filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He would have never put his spirit inside of you. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, he would have never seen to it that you came to this place tonight. But God sees that you've got the ability to make it, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I've come to encourage somebody, why don't you rise up tonight and face the wall that stands before you, because by the help grace of God, you can face your wall. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to talk about at least three different groups of people who come to the wall. Number one, the first people I would like to talk about are those that God has brought out of bondage. He's brought out of sin, and they are on their journey now, and they are walking along, walking toward the promises of God. And as they are traveling along, they look up one day and this wall is standing before them. And it's a wall, it's a great wall, a strong wall. It is a wall that they are not able to conquer in themselves. And so they look at this wall and they see how high it is and how thick and wide it is. And they say, I cannot go on. I do not have what it takes to face this wall in my life. I cannot make it. And so this type of person turns around and they go back to the land of bondage. They go back to sin. They go back to the ungodliness. And we call this people, we call them the backslider, because they slide back into the grip of sin and the enemy. And they go back to where they came from. And then the second group of people that I would like to speak about for a moment is those who God has called out of sin and darkness, out of bondage, and they're walking along and they're living for God, and they are traveling toward the blessings and the promises of God. And they also look up and they see this wall that has loomed up before them. And as they look at this wall and they see how great this wall is, they also began to think, I don't think I have what it takes to face this thing in my life. I don't know how I'm going to get beyond this. I don't know how I'm going to get past this. I don't know how I'm going to get to that place that God has chosen and promised to me. And so this second type of person turns and they look back to Egypt. They look back to the land of Goshen. They look back at the bondage. They look back at all that they have left behind. And they say, you know what? I may not have what it takes to face this wall, but I sure am not going back where I came from. Amen. I am not going back. I am not going back to the bondage. I'm not going back to the sorrow. I'm not going back to the pain. I'm not going back to the heart. I'm not going back to the sleepless nights and the troubled days. I refuse to go back where I came from. Is there anybody here tonight that's got a made up mind? I refuse to go back. I remember how it was. I remember how it was. And I am not going back to this old world. Oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Amen. It has already been said tonight that Brother Copeland has said, amen, the worst day in the church is better than the best day in the world. And I believe that tonight, amen, this world has nothing to offer. This world has nothing to give me. This world has nothing worth turning around and going back to. Praise God, I wish somebody would shout it tonight. I wish somebody would shout it for angels to hear you. I wish somebody would shout it, amen, for the devil to hear you. I wish somebody would shout it, amen. I am not going back. I refuse to turn around. I refuse to go back where I came from. I'm not going back. You hear me? I am not. I am not going back where I am not going back where I came from. Praise. Oh, Jesus. Amen. And this second type of person looks, and they look at the world, and they look at Egypt and the bondage, and they say, I'm not going back. But then they turn around and they look at the wall again. Man, now I don't know what your wall may be tonight. I know what my walls have been through the years. Amen. We're talking about individuals tonight. Amen. We're talking to people here who are facing walls of discouragement and facing walls of worry and doubt and fear. There are people who are facing walls of addiction and walls, amen, of weaknesses and walls in your family and walls around you in so many ways. There are people here right now who are already thinking about the wall that you are facing and how that wall has kept you from victory and how that wall has kept you from being what God desires for you to be. Amen. Don't be like that first person who turned around and went back to the world because they could not face their wall. Amen. How many new converts gave up because they didn't know that they could face the wall, and they thought that just because they had a wall in their life that they were never going to get past it and that there was no sense in going on. And how many others who are sitting here tonight have got walls that have risen in your life and they discourage you, and every time you go to pray that wall rises up, and every time the Holy Ghost starts moving in the service, amen, the wall that stands before you rises up high in your eyes. Don't be like the second person either, because that second person looks at the world and says, I'm not going back. But then they turn and they see this great wall in their life. And so what they do, they're not going back to the world. But what they do is they turn around with their back to the wall and began to pretend as if there is no wall in their life. Amen. I'm talking to somebody right here. Praise God. They began to
pretend that they don't have a problem, that there is no wall in their life. They're not going back to the world. They're going to keep coming to church. They're going to keep clapping their hands. They're going to keep saying amen. They're going to keep praising the Lord. Oh, praise God. Amen. They're going to keep responding to the Spirit. They're going to keep shouting sometimes and dancing sometimes and talking in tongues sometimes. But in their heart and in their mind, they've got this wall that they will never conquer. And the devil has convinced them that they will never, ever conquer this wall. Amen. But then there's a third person, amen, who comes to the wall and they see how great it is, how mighty and powerful it is. But then they turn back and look at the world and they say, I am not going back to the world. I'm not turning around. I'm not going back to the sorrow and the pain and the emptiness and the loneliness and the heartache and the trouble. I am not going back. But then they turn around and they look at this wall and they see it again. But this third person looks at that wall and says, wall, you might not come down tonight, and you may not come down next week, and you may not come down next month, and you may not come down this year, but I refuse to sit down and give up. I refuse to pretend that there is no wall. Oh, you are coming down. You hear me, wall? Wall, you are coming down. In the name of Jesus, you are coming down. Not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Almighty God, you are coming down. I'm going to keep chipping away. I'm going to keep pushing away. I'm going to keep fighting my way through until I see this wall come tumbling down in my life. Oh, I wish somebody would just back up and look at your wall right now and point to your wall and say, in the name of Jesus, you are coming down. Praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I feel here tonight, Brother Copeland? I feel a wall falling. I said, I feel a wall falling. Amen. Somebody needs to do like Reagan did. They need to walk up to the wall. Like Reagan said, Gorbachev, take down this wall. Ha! Praise God. Somebody needs to rise up right now and say, wall, you are coming down. You are not going to stop me. You are not going to depress me. You are not going to discourage me. You are not going to outlast me. I said, you are not going to outlast me, because I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I've got a made up mind. I've got a made up mind. This wall is coming down. Oh, praise. Amen. Amen. God must have, he must have seen and known Joshua's determination. Because as Joshua looked up, he saw a man standing over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua said, art thou for us? Art thou for us? Or for our adversaries? And the man said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Whew. I want somebody to know, God is not against you. Somebody needs to hear this again. Somebody here needs to realize God is not against you. God is not sending enforcements against you. God is not, amen, on someone else's side. He's not on the devil's side. God is not looking for a reason to kick you out. Amen. There's a lot of folks that have bought into that lie that God is looking for a reason to kick them out of the church, to kick them to the side. I'm here to tell you, God would never have filled you with the Holy Ghost. He would have never called you if his intent and purpose was to kick you out. Amen. But God is going to do everything. He is going to do everything he can do to help you to face the wall that has risen in your life. Praise. Amen. No, Joshua. Amen. I am not against you. I am for you. I wish somebody would shout, God is for me. God is for me. Amen. Somebody say, God is on my side. Say God's rooting for me. Amen. Say, God wants to. He wants to destroy my enemies. He wants to move the devil out of the way. He wants me to see the blessings. He wants me to enjoy the promise. Praise God. God is for me. Amen. Oh, Joshua, I'll tell you how much God is for you. He didn't just send a little angel. He didn't just send one, but he sent the captain. Amen. He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. I feel the captain in this house. Amen. Amen. God has not sent us. He has not sent us a weak angel, but he has sent us a captain. The word of God is a captain tonight. And the captain, I've come to tell somebody, the captain has come to help you fight. The captain has come to help you tear your wall down. The captain has come to stand by your side. The captain is here. The captain is here. Yes. 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 Amen. Oh, yes. And if the Bible said that the man said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. If he was a captain of a host, I can't help but believe, but the host was not far behind him. God, I've come to tell somebody, there be more who are for you than they who are against you. You've got more on your side. You've got more on your side, and they've come to help you face your wall. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I remember when I was in high school, I was raised in the church, and I thank God for that. I had a friend, a close friend in high school, and she had come to church. Her sister, she had a couple of sisters in her church and their husbands. And this girl, teenage girl, 10th grade, she came to church and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She was baptized in Jesus' name. And her parents hated this one God truth. And they hated the holiness standard that we taught. And they refused to allow her to go to church except on special occasions. And this young lady, when she had the opportunity to come to church,
She sat as close to the front as she could get. And she got everything out of the service that she could get. And she gave it her all because she knew where she was going after church. Amen. Her parents were so strong against her living this way that they made her wear pants to school. She rode the school bus, and at our high school, the bus ramp was just right off of the girls' gymnasium. And this young lady would get on the bus at home with pants on, and she'd get off of the bus at school and go into the girls' gym dressing room and change into a dress. Praise God. Amen. And then she'd make her way to the school cafeteria where all the Pentecostal kids gathered together and ate breakfast together and prayed together every morning. Praise God. And we were her lifeline. And her conversation was, what happened in church last night? Amen. She wasn't interested in anything else going on. She was interested in what was happening at church and what God was doing at church. And she'd sit there and she'd cry and she'd just try to get everything she could get out of our conversations. Amen. I would call her. I would call her and to encourage her. And I'll never forget, I called her and she was whispering, and I said, why are you whispering? And she said, I've got to be very quiet. She said, my mom and dad are downstairs, and she said, I'm upstairs in my bedroom, and she said, I'm having a prayer meeting. She said, but I can only whisper. I can't pray out loud. But you know what? It didn't stop her from praying. I said it didn't stop her from praying. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I called her. I said, what are you doing? She said, oh, I've got to be so quiet. She said, but I was just praying. And she said, the Holy Ghost came down on me. And she said, right now, she said, I'm just dancing very quietly around my bed. I've been talking in tongues. Glory to God. What was she doing? She was facing her wall. A wall that would not come down. A wall that was bigger than her. A wall that was greater than her. A wall that was mightier and stronger than her. A wall. Oh, hey, now listen to this. A wall that seemingly would take forever to come down. Somebody needs to get a hold of that right there. Hear it. Amen. Brother Wilson, how long is it going to take for my wall to come down? Don't worry about how long it takes. Just keep on chipping. Just don't stop. Just don't stop crying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop shouting. Don't stop fasting. Don't stop reading the word. Don't stop being faithful. Don't stop saying amen. Don't stop praising the Lord. Amen. Because every time you do, there's a little chip that comes off of that great big wall.
Praise.
Amen. And so time went by. Time went on. And we got out of high school. We graduated from high school. And something happened. This young lady and her parents were going to a backslidden church is what it was, actually. Completely. Amen. Completely. And that's why they hated holiness so much. Right. Amen. And I mean, they had drifted so far, they let go of the oneness of the Godhead. And Jesus' name, baptism, just the whole everything. And there was a young man that joined that church. And that young man was on a search for truth. That's right. He was on a journey, searching for truth. He had been in a seminary. I won't say what, but he had been in a seminary studying to be a priest, and realized that that was not for him, that he was still empty. Amen. He was still searching. And so in his searching, he found this church where this young lady attended with her parents. And her parents just fell in love with this young guy. And he was bright. He was a brilliant young man. And he became good friends with this young lady. And one day her parents pulled him aside and told him, said, "Listen, we want you to go down there to that Pentecostal church. And we want you to find everything wrong that you can find. Find out everything bad that you can find. And everything you find out, we want you to tell our daughter. We have got to change her mind. We've got to pull her away from those people. Amen. She is not to go that direction." And he looked at them and he really loved her parents. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I'll do that." Amen. He said, "I'll go down to that church." And I'll never forget the night he walked through the doors of that church. I'll never forget the look in his eyes, that set jaw. Amen. That look. He went in there. He came in there to look at the problems and just do what they had asked him to do. And he was standing and watching everything that was going on. But something got a hold to him that night. Before that service was over, he was crying in the altar. Before that service was over, he was baptized in Jesus' name. Before that service was over, he was a tongue-talking, apostolic, holiness, Pentecostal. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. He went back and he told her parents. He said, "I'm not going to pull her out of that." Amen. Absolutely. I have joined that. I went and got what she got. Now I know why she has a made up mind. I've come to tell somebody, God will help you and God will send you reinforcement if you will make up your mind. I will face this wall. Yes. Amen. Amen. He married her. Mm-hmm. They raised a son and a daughter. And both of them are in the church today. And their children are in the church today and receiving the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'm telling somebody here tonight, don't you buy into the lie of hell. The devil's not stronger than your God. The world is not stronger than this church. I said the world is not stronger than this church. Sin is not stronger than Jesus' name. Praise God. And there is nothing that can stop an individual who has a made up mind. Praise. And the captain said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Worship. Did I read that right? Somebody look in your Bible and tell me, does it say worship? Worship, but the wall is still standing. Worship, but there are still guards on the wall.
worship, but there are still those on the wall who are mocking me. Worship, I haven't seen anything happen yet. Hey, friend, if we have to wait until our wall falls for us to worship, then that's not worship. That's emotion. But true worship is when the wall is still standing and the enemy is still strong. But you rise up and say, I know a stronger one. There is nobody like my God. My God is an awesome God. There is no wall that he cannot conquer. There is no wall that he cannot cause to fall. That is worship. That is worship. You worship in the middle of your trouble. You worship in the middle of your trial. You worship in the middle of your situation. And you are creating a wall falling experience. Praise. Amen. Somebody say worship is how you face your wall. Amen. Say that. Worship is how you face your wall. Worship. But that's not all. He fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? There's a little word here that a whole lot of people don't like. It's called submission. I feel like I need to linger there just a moment. A little word called submission. A little word called submission doesn't fit into this society. That little word, it's a great big word to a lot of people. Amen. It's a sign of weakness to many people. The word submission. Oh, Jesus. Amen. It's a sign. It's a sign of allowing somebody to control my life when I'm old enough and smart enough to control my own life and don't need anybody else. I don't need a preacher. You know, there's a song that's out and I like just about all of it, but there's just enough wrong with it to make me not like the song. It's a song, I don't need nobody else. And part of it says, I don't need no preacher, no teacher. They're all messed up. I've come to tell you there's power in obedience. There's power and there's authority in submission. You go ahead and bow up if you want to. You go ahead and be your own strong man if you want to. You go ahead and be your own strong individual if you want to. But I promise you that wall that won't come down will never come down, because submission is part of what God uses to tear down your wall. Yeah. Praise. Man, I'm trying to hurry now. All right. What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. There's another man in the word of God that stood on holy ground. Somebody say his name. It was Moses. But there was a difference in Moses' holy ground experience and in Joshua's holy ground experience. You see, Moses' holy ground was holy ground before he ever got there. The bush was on fire. It got his attention. He turned to look, and when he looked, he saw a bush on fire, and yet it was not consumed. It drew him. It drew him out of curiosity, no doubt. He walked toward that bush, and when he got close to it, this voice spoke to him and said, "Take off your shoes, because you're standing on holy ground." Moses took off his shoes on ground that was holy before he got there. But you see, Joshua was standing on grounds of uncertainty. Joshua was standing on grounds of questions. Joshua was standing on grounds, no doubt, of confusions. Amen. Oh, yes, he was. But when Joshua fell on his face and began to worship, and when Joshua submitted himself to the captain, oh my, amen, Joshua turned his ground into holy ground. Oh. Praise God. Would you stand with me right now? Musicians, come please. Amen. Oh, yes. You may be standing on grounds of uncertainty. You may be standing on grounds of fear or doubt or worry or hopelessness or helplessness. You may be standing on questions. Amen. You may be standing on fears. Oh, but tonight, if you will do what the Word of God has said, and you will step out and you will walk down here, and you will begin to worship God and submit yourself, therefore, unto God, and resist the devil, he will flee. He will flee from you. Hallelujah. You can cause a wall falling experience in your life. And I like this part. It said, and Joshua did so. Joshua did so. I sure hope somebody will leave here tonight and say, the preacher preached, the word went forth, the word told me what to do, and I did so. And now my wall is coming down. No doubt, in a congregation this size, there are people who are struggling. There are people who are wondering, and the enemy is telling you that you can't do it. You don't have what it takes. But according to the Word of God tonight, you can do it. And you do have what it takes. The power is not in you. The power is not in you. But the power is in the God who created you. The God who has called you. Hallelujah. I just wonder right now, we're not running and dancing and shouting right now, but nevertheless, there is a very strong presence of God in this place, and the Lord is standing here waiting for somebody to step out and say, you know what, I think I'll try that. I think I'll just bow up. I think I'll just stand up. I think I'll just look at my wall. And I'm going to challenge this wall tonight, not in my strength, not in my power, not in my ability, but in the power of the Word of God, the power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The power, the wonder-working power of the blood tonight. Oh, yes. Somebody needs to walk up here and just rear back and look at your wall. Amen. It'd be all right if you just called your wall by name. Amen. And tell that wall, wall, you are coming down. You are coming down in Jesus' name. Because I'm a worshiper. Because I'm a believer. Because I'm an obedient child of God. Oh, praise God. Go ahead and lift your voice unto the Lord. Amen. The captain is here tonight. The captain is here tonight. The host is here tonight to help you. You don't have to face this wall by yourself in Jesus' name. I said you don't have to face this wall by yourself. Somebody needs a shout to your wall. Somebody needs to talk like you're determined to face this wall. Somebody needs to bow up. Don't beg your wall to come down. I said, don't beg your wall to come down. Don't plead with your wall to come down. But command your wall to come down. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you.